and white. So many shades in between. Yeah, there's more to life than what's yours or what's mine. Oh, and I wish everyone could agree. Power back, bring the power back, bring the power back home. Why don't you bring the power back, bring the power back, bring the power back home? Well, I work my fingers to the bone and I barely see time. I pay my taxes like I should to finance a world of crime. Corruption at heart and soul of the ones who stole the power. Bleed from the poor to feed the rich, where we're gonna be devoured unless we bring the power back, bring the power back, bring the power back home. Unless we bring the power back, bring the power back, bring the power back home. Well, it started getting bad enough, some people seem to care. Well, we all better wake right up while we still can breathe the air. The hills, they are on fire, and the ocean's at the door. It's right down to the wire, we ain't gonna make it much longer unless we bring the power back, bring the power back, bring the power back home. Unless we bring the power back, bring the power. Most politicians bought and sold, they forgot about real love. They only need their pockets filled, don't care about our blood. Well, I think you know how this story goes, and it's an ending you won't like. Fire and brimstone, an ocean of blood, and the bullets raining down. The rich get richer while the stench of death is wearing down the world. Unless we bring about real change, well, we ain't gonna be no more. Unless we take the power back, take the power back, take the power back home. Unless we take the power back, take the power back, take the power back home. And
from Louisville, Kentucky, and Kentucky is a really diverse place, but it's really divided between conservative and liberal, and there are so many of us that are so tired of this division and just want to see people come together, and I really feel like Bernie is somebody that really puts his money where his mouth is and really wants to bring people together, regardless of what you may think you're labeled as. You know, society tries to label you as conservative or liberal. I think it's time we did away with all that and just start to try and heal each other and heal the world. And I feel like Bernie's fought for that his entire life, since long before most of us were born. So I really, really believe in him.
Like the rhythm of the earth, I get disrupted. I'm amazed amazed what they want me to believe. After all is said and done, where is the justice?
This whole notion of truth is something that people really need to focus on, because I think whenever I talk about Bernie with people, I feel like Bernie's maybe the only candidate that I've seen maybe in my lifetime that I feel like if he was elected, people would really start to feel the difference in their day-to-day lives. And I think that could erase a lot of these divisions, because I think people who might not agree with everything that he says right now, once they started to feel those everyday differences in their life, like once they had health care, once they had a living wage, once we had time for those things to take effect, I really think that could be the unifier, where people could say, okay, Bernie's really opened the door for this change, for us to all kind of unify. Now let's take this and run with it and make the world a better place.
No compromise, but willing to sacrifice. What you want, go on, be who you are, go ahead and get what you want, full of life. The stone is thrown, it's coming fast, next thing you know, crashing through the glass. Now we're down on our knees, picking up the scraps. Whatever it takes, we gotta build it back. If you don't speak out, we can't hear it. Our love is always here, here in spirit. Who came before, here in spirit. Oh, no compromise, but willing to sacrifice. If the means for an end's in sight, and once the work is done, go celebrate what you like. Go on, dance through the night. go on, be one with the light. Full of life. The stone is thrown, it's coming fast. Next thing you know, it's crashing through the glass. Now we're down on our knees, picking up the scraps. Whatever it takes, we gotta build it back. If you don't speak out, we can't hear it. Our love is always here, here in spirit. And those who came before, here in spirit. If you don't speak out, we can't hear it. Spirit, yeah, spirit, yeah, spirit, yeah, spirit.
I'd like to introduce the philosopher and dream defender himself, Philip Agnew.
Good evening, burners across the country. My name is Philip Agnew. I was a national surrogate for the campaign, and I now have the pleasure of serving as a senior advisor. You know, one of the big things that hurts me about our offices being closed is the opportunity to see Bernie offices from around the country. And every time I go into one of those offices, I'm able to see signs that represent the big sayings and slogans of our movement. You see Black Lives Matter. You see healthcare as a human right. You see eat the rich. You see women deserve autonomy over their bodies. You see that our earth is something that should be protected. You see these signs, the things that we say to one another all over these offices, because Bernie offices aren't just campaign offices, they're movement hubs. And the thing about those signs, when you see them around the office, and the thing that always touches me is that these are the things that we used to have to whisper to one another. These are the things that used to get laughed out of the room. These are the ideas that used to get made fun of. These are the ideas that used to be trash. These are the ideas that we used to have to be embarrassed about. These are the ideas that form the basis of our movement. And here in the year 2020, we don't have to whisper those things anymore. We don't have to worry about being embarrassed to say that people deserve health care, that people deserve clean water, clean air, that people deserve a roof over their heads. We don't have to worry about being laughed at when we say these things. And that is the opportunity. That is the wonderful movement that we've been able to build here on this campaign. You know, a lot of other campaigns have a what? They have policies that look a little bit like ours, but they're not just like ours. But some of the campaigns have a good what when you look around. But when you look at the soul of a movement, you've got to look at the why, the where, the how, and the who. And that is where our campaign is set apart from any other campaign. You may have the what, but do you have the why? Maybe a focus group told you you had to do these things. Maybe a survey did. Maybe political expediency told you to have to do these things. But in our campaign, we say the why is because it is a moral imperative that every individual in this country and around the world deserves the right to having basic things. When we look at the who, some campaigns say that it's just a few people, that it's just Americans that deserve to have these things. But we say that the who should be everybody across this country. We already have healthcare for some. We need it for all. We already have college for some. We need it for all. We already have justice for some. We need it for all. That's why our who is where you find the soul of our movement. When you talk about the where of what we're doing, the where of our movement, we don't just think it should be in the nice parts of the city, the nice parts of the country for a certain group of people over in Martha's Vineyard or on Fisher Island or in Beverly Hills, but we say it should be from coast to coast and across the country for Palestinians, for Brazilians, for people who have not had their rights heard. That's why we have a soul when you look at the where. And when you look at the win, other campaigns say we should wait a few years. Other campaigns say we should see what other people are saying. What does the win say? But we say right now. Our win is right now. Our win is right now. And when you talk about the how, other campaigns say you should go into a dark back room, a smoky room, and deal out with the Republicans and figure out what it is. But we know that the only how, the only way that we're going to get the things that we deserve is by building a grassroots movement from across this country of everyday people who have had to worry about where they're going to get food, worry about their shelter over their head, worry about whether their kids are going to have better lives than the ones that they have had. These are the people who deserve to be, have their hands on the plow, have their hands and their seat at the table, right, and decide what happens in their lives. Not people who have never had dirt under their fingernails, people who have never had to worry, people who have never had to squeeze the pennies to put food on the table. That is where the soul of our movement is. And so I'm so excited to be a part of this first ever virtual rally, the first time I've ever been a part of it, to look at people from across the country as we talk about this movement that we have built, this thing that will not die. No poll can measure our movement. No ballot box can measure our movement, because what we have built here is going to continue to transform this country, continue to transform this world. I can't wait for voting day tomorrow. I'm in Florida, so at least during this virus, I get to be warm. I get to see beautiful things. But for everybody that's around this country and wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, something amazing is going to happen. Millions of people are going to go to the polls and they're going to declare that their lives have meaning, that we deserve to live in integrity for the rest of our lives. As I said before, we don't want college for some. We want college for all. We don't want justice for some. We want justice for all. We don't want a Green New Deal for some. We want a Green New Deal for all. We want a country that our grandparents and our grandchildren can be proud of. So join with us as we go to vote in Florida, in Ohio. Well, Ohio just pushed it back, in Arizona and in Illinois and in states around this country. More than half of the country has yet to have their voices heard. So let's do the work. Thank you for joining us. And I'm more proud than ever to introduce the co-chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, a freedom fighter, somebody who I was honored to stand with in Las Vegas in this movement and around this country, Brianna Westbrook.
Hello, America. My name is Brianna Westbrook. Thank you for tuning in to this important virtual town hall ahead of this week's upcoming primary elections. I am proud to be an Arizona State Campaign co-chair, a national surrogate for Bernie Sanders, as well as Arizona's first transgender candidate for federal office and an elected leader of my state Democratic Party. So I think it's safe to say I know the progressive movement and the Democratic Party and the process as well as pretty much anyone. And I am thrilled to be talking to all of you today about why I think Bernie Sanders is the best choice for Arizona, for Democrats, and for this critical moment in American history. This week, Democrats will have an important choice to make, and the contrast between those two choices couldn't be any starker. We'll be either accepting politics as usual or voting for a new vision, for a big, bold, structural change to rise to this unprecedented moment in American politics. I, for one, will be voting for that new vision. And I am asking you to join me, because we did not arrive at a Trump presidency, or more broadly, at this moment in history overnight. Donald Trump is merely a symptom of a much broader, more significant, and more systemic problem. That problem is that the American political system has been broken for decades. It's a system that has placed the interests of the few ahead of the interests of the many. And those priorities have left millions of working class people behind, while corporations and billionaires continue to hoard more and more profits that workers generate for them. There is only one candidate that understands this fact, and his name is Bernie Sanders. He is not afraid to say it. In fact, he's been saying it loudly, clearly, and consistently for longer than many of us have been alive. And that commitment Bernie Sanders has to working people is a mutual one. Bernie's campaign is powered by millions of contributions from regular working class people like teachers, nurses, truck drivers, and service industry workers. Not the billionaire class like so many other campaigns are. Bernie Sanders has the courage to meet this moment and the vision to make the structural changes to solve the problems so that every person living in the United States can live a full and complete life where their basic needs to live are met. By bringing us all together to beat this pandemic, Bernie will be setting the stage for us to tackle other looking crises, from financial precarity to the rapid wealth inequality to climate change, which threatens all of us and our future generations. It is Bernie Sanders who is calling for a universal single-payer healthcare system that ensures comprehensive care to everyone, regardless of race, class, disability, age, gender, sexual identity, immigration, or economic status. It is Bernie Sanders who has the courage, the vision, and the record to face down the greed of the fossil fuel executives and the billionaire class who stand in the way of climate action. It is Bernie Sanders who will overturn every single one of Donald Trump's legislative efforts to demonize and harm our immigrant communities on his first day in office. We are truly at a defining moment in our nation's history. We can either go backward or we can go forward. I, for one, choose the path forward because going backwards will not fix our great nation's problems. Going backwards will leave over 10 million Americans without health care and the rest of us with that burden of high premiums, co-pays, and deductibles. Going backward will only perpetuate the issues that created the Donald Trump presidency. Going backward is not the solution, it is the problem. We must recognize as a nation today that going backward is the problem that created Donald Trump. While talking to voters, I am often asked the how. Just how will Bernie Sanders pass his bold agenda through Congress? I'll tell you how, just like I said to the person before you. When millions of Americans from California to Florida to Maine demand it, we the people have the power. We the people have the power to create the change if we break our chains. We the people have the power to pass Bernie's bold platform for America. When we organize together, we can push our elected officials to do the job that we elected them to do. When we organize together, we can push our elected officials to support President Bernie Sanders' vision for America. We have shown the world just how strong we are together over the last 3 years. We have shown our strength, we have flexed our muscles, we have demanded more together at marches and protests over the previous 3 years, and we have won. The second how I am always asked is just how will Bernie beat Trump? Bernie beats Trump because working class people believe in him. Bernie beats Trump because Latinos believe in him. But in key battleground states like my home state of Arizona, which has 1.2 million Latino voters eligible to vote this November. Bernie beats Trump because young people believe in him. Bernie has a 33-point lead against Trump among voters age 18 to 34, by far the largest lead in that age group than any other Democratic candidate. Will you join us in this fight to help usher in a transformative leader for an America we all can believe in? Will you join us in this fight to defeat Donald Trump? Because if you do, I have no doubt in my mind, we will reshape America and defeat the worst president in American history. Thank you. Now, please welcome U.S. Congressman of the 4th District of Illinois and Illinois State Co-Chair, Chuy Garcia.
Chuy Garcia from Chicago, Illinois. I am a proud supporter of Bernie Sanders. I first met him 5 years ago when I was running for mayor of the city of Chicago, and he endorsed me. We created a strong bond and alliance that has helped us transform Chicago politics, elect the next generation of leaders to the Chicago City Council, to the Illinois State Legislature. Why did I support Bernie? Because he has been a champion more than anyone else in our country for making $15 a livable wage for everyone in our country and tying it to the inflation index. He has been a staunch supporter of workers' rights throughout all of his time in Congress. We've passed major legislation in the 116th Congress of the United States. What we need now going into November is to win the Senate majority back and elect Bernie Sanders president of the United States. Why? The landmark legislation that we've enacted in the House of Representatives includes the minimum wage, making it easier to form a union, equal pay for everyone in our economy, ensuring protections for the LGBTQ community. We've passed strong immigration measures that would help people like the DACA class of people and people with temporary protective status be able to legalize their status and have a pathway to citizenship. Bernie Sanders has been a champion of these issues for a long time. If we truly want to bring about monumental change in our country, address climate change, address the burning issues of our time, then we need to elect Bernie Sanders so that his signature can be on the landmark legislation that Democrats are prepared to lead on in the coming year. If we want to change America, we need to elect Bernie Sanders. So that's why I joined this campaign and why I will be working to get every vote out on Tuesday, March 17th for Bernie Sanders. Feel the burn. And now I would like to introduce a sister who has been in the struggle for a long, long time, former state senator Nina Turner.
Hello, somebody. This is yours truly, Senator Nina Turner. Welcome to the very first Bernie 2020 virtual town hall. I know that these are very heavy times for all of us right now. There's a lot of uncertainty right now, which should remind us as to why it is so important to help get Senator Bernie Sanders elected as the 46th President of the United States of America. Senator Sanders has the courage, the character, and the conviction to not only lead this country, but to lead this world as a champion for what is just, for what is right, and for what is good. Burners, I want to remind you that our mission is so high, we can't get over it. Our mission is so low, we can't get under it. And our mission is so wide, we cannot get around it. And so as we stand together to continue to push for this champion to be the next president of the United States of America, I want you to know that the platform, the vision, this journey that we have been on is so vitally important. Medicare for all, having a universal healthcare system, is more important now than it ever has been as we deal with this coronavirus, as we stand up for the most vulnerable in this community, as we stand up for our elders in this world, as we stand up for young people in this world. I want you to know that all that we have been building will get us to the next level of this fight, and you cannot relent. We must continue to stand strong and stand together for what is just, for what is right, and for what is good. We do deserve nice things in this country. We do deserve universal health care. We do deserve college for all that is not means tested. We do deserve a Green New Deal that will put millions of people back to work in this country and help us to be better stewards of Mother Earth. We do deserve to have student debt canceled. Hello, somebody. Women do deserve to earn their whole damn dollar. Hello, somebody. And we do absolutely deserve a system that is not skewed for just the people who have the greatest wealth in this nation, but for the people who have the greatest needs in this nation. Let this moment not create fear, but create an opportunity for us to put forward our fierceness and continue to fight. That is what we need right now. I want you to continue to have that hope and continue to have that drive and determination that is necessary to encourage people to stand up for people who need us now more than ever. This moment was made for Senator Bernie Sanders. He was built for this moment. Our movement was built for this moment. Whatsoever things that are good and just, that is what we will continue to fight for, baby. We are not relenting. We are pressing on towards the high prize, which is justice, economic justice, political justice, social justice, and environmental justice. Hello, somebody. We are going to continue to fight to turn this thing around, and baby, we can do it, because there is no force greater on this earth than a conscious-minded people on the move. And we are a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-racial, and multi-gendered movement. The freight train of love is moving, and we are on it. So I want you to continue to fight and continue to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And let's do this thing. Let's make Senator Bernard Sanders somebody who does not have to contort his message, that he has always had the courage, the character, the conviction to do. It is not popular. Let's help him become the 46th president of the United States of America, baby. Are you with me? Hello, somebody. And with these hands, we will have Medicare for all. With these hands, we will have college for all. With these hands, we will cancel student debt. With these hands, we will cancel medical debt. With these hands, we will recognize the disparities within the disparities that Black people suffer, that brown people suffer, that indigenous people suffer disproportionately than other folks in this nation. With these hands, women will finally get their whole damn dollar. And with these hands, we will stand on the promises of this nation and force those promises to be made real. With these hands, in the words of Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, what the people want is very simple. They want an America as good as its promise. And that is what we are fighting for. And we will never relent on that. Hello, somebody. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce singer, songwriter, and activist, the one and only Neil Young, as well as the actress and environmentalist, the amazing Daryl Hannah.
Hey, Bernie. We are here for you, Bernie. We support you 100%.
Thank you for your compassion and your vision and your consistency and your leadership. Don't forget to vote tomorrow, everybody.
And your focus and the soul of what you're behind is so great. We can do this whole thing we have to do. And for all you families out there in your own homes watching this and hanging out with us, we say lots of love. We're with you. We really are with you. And now,
don't forget to vote
for President Bernie Sanders.
Hello, everybody. Let me thank Jim James for his music. Let me thank Philip Agnew for his remarks tonight and for the great work he has been doing for our campaign all over the country. Let me thank Brianna Westbrook for the great work that she is doing in Arizona. Let me thank Representative Chuy Garcia for being one of the outstanding members of Congress and for the great work he's doing for us in the state of Illinois. Let me thank Senator Nina Turner, who's been running all over this country tirelessly, and thank her for the great work she is doing in her home state of Ohio. And let me say a special word of thanks to Neil Young and Daryl Hannah. Neil is clearly one of the outstanding musicians in the entire world. And we thank him so much for his longtime support for our campaign and for his contributions to the progressive movement. And I say the same for Daryl, who has also been a strong progressive for so many years. And I do want to say probably something I have not talked about enough, and that is one of the beautiful aspects of our campaign is we have traveled all over this country. We have just met so many great musicians. Some of them, like Neil and Daryl, are internationally known. Some of them may be known only in their own communities, a small band. But here's my promise to you. If we make it into the White House, what we will do is more than just increase funding for the arts. That's easy. But what we will try to do is integrate the arts into the culture, into who we are as Americans. And that means not only music, but theater, but poetry. We want the arts to be an integral part of defining and understanding who we are as a people. And that is something that I look forward to doing. I don't have to tell anybody that we are living in a very unprecedented and strange moment in the history of our country. We have a president who is in so many ways unfit to be president in terms of the coronavirus is making a very difficult situation even worse by undermining what the doctors and the scientists are saying. And we got that. So we got the White House. And then we have clearly this coronavirus, which is a pandemic growing in our own country. And threatening the well-being of so many of our people. And then on top of that, we have, as a result of the coronavirus, the global economic meltdown. All of that is taking place at the same time. So let me just say a word, you know, about where I think we've got to go. I think in this unusual moment in American and world history, it may be a time to rethink our value system, to rethink many of the systems that we operate under. And one of the great concerns that I have is we live in a moment of unfettered capitalism where the people on top not only have incredible wealth and power, but we have in this country now a culture which says that it's okay. It's okay for us to exploit working people. It's okay for us to get massive tax breaks when 500,000 people sleep out on the street. It's okay for us to have an inadequate educational system, especially for low-income kids and children of color. That's okay. It's okay for us to be the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all. It's okay for us to be the only major country on earth not to guaranteed paid family and medical leave. It's okay for us to have massive levels of income and wealth inequality. Well, you know what? That's not okay. And while we focus right now on making sure that we address as aggressively as we can the coronavirus, and what does that mean? It means all the things you know. It means making sure that everybody is able to get tested who needs to get tested. It means that those results must come out to people as soon as possible. It means that we bulk up our hospital capability, which means that clearly we're going to need more ICU units. We're going to need more ventilators. In fact, we're going to need more medical personnel, and that's an issue that concerns me very much because we're already hearing of doctors who have been made ill by the virus, and they're not going to be able to continue to do their work. And the last thing in the world we need is our frontline defense to be hard hit so that we don't get the health care that we need. So the doctors and the nurses need all of the protective equipment and the knowledge that they need in order to survive this epidemic. But I think when we look at the coronavirus and how poorly prepared we are, and this goes above and beyond Trump, it tells us that we have got to do what every other major country on earth has done, and that is guarantee health care to all people as a human right. Now, a lot of different ideas are coming out from the White House, they're coming out from the Congress, and a lot of people saying, okay, yes, you should be able to get the testing that you need without charge, although God knows how you get the testing, where you get the testing, a lot of confusion about that. But how do people pay for the testing? And then what happens if, God forbid, you are diagnosed with the coronavirus? What happens if you end up in the hospital? How are you going to pay that bill? Or what happens if, you go into the doctor's office, it turns out that you don't have the coronavirus, but you have a serious other virus, so you have the flu, and you're going to be hospitalized or out of work for a while? What happens to you then? Or what happens if, as a result of the stress that so many families in America are feeling right now, somebody needs some psychological help? Who's going to pay for that? And what happens if in the midst of all of this you're diagnosed with cancer? We're going to continue to have, cancer, people coming down with cancer, people coming down with heart disease, people coming down with Alzheimer's. We're going to have all these other illnesses. How do you pay for that? So I think I would hope that in the midst of this epidemic and the understanding that we are so unprepared for it and there's so much anxiety upon the parts of the American people in terms of our healthcare system, I would hope, and I know, there is a growing understanding that we need a simple, straightforward, universal, cost-effective system, and that's called Medicare for All. So I'm not here to proselytize on Medicare for All. I think all of you know my views on it. But if there was ever a time when it was so clear that we need to simply guarantee every person in this country the ability to go to a doctor when you need to, not to worry about a hospital bill if you end up in the hospital, now is that time. And again, when people say, what's going to be the cost of Medicare for All, I point out that we're spending twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other country, some $11,000 for every man, woman, and child. And this principle applies to the pharmaceutical industry. We need right now to make sure that the pharmaceutical industry does not rip off the American people as they develop vaccines and other kinds of treatment. Many of the drugs and the research is being funded by the federal government as it happens, and we will not accept the pharmaceutical industry charging high prices for the vaccines or the other treatment that people need. In fact, we must make sure that all of that treatment in this crisis is available to all people free of charge. Then you got the economy right now. All of you know that the stock market went down by 13% today, a huge drop. All over this country, small businesses now are shutting down or they're running on very tiny staffs because the business is not coming in. And what we must do in the midst of the economic crisis is develop a very simple principle. And that is that, no, we're not going to just bail out the oil companies. We're not going to bail out the airlines. We're not going to bail out the fossil fuel industry. But we are going to bail out every man, woman, and child in this country. So what our goal must be, right now, is it going to be expensive? Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but it is what has to be done. And that is to say to every person in this country, you are Americans, and your government will make you whole through no fault of your own. There is now a major, major economic crisis facing this country. You didn't invent the coronavirus. It's not your fault. And as a democratic, civilized society, what we're going to do is protect you. We're going to protect you if you are a single mom right now who is staying home because your child care center is closed. We're going to protect you if you're a small business person who has had to shut down. We're going to protect you if you are a worker in a restaurant who is no longer working. There is no question that millions and millions of workers are going to be impacted by this shutdown, by the economic crisis that we're in and the shutdowns that we are seeing. So our underlying principle is that we must make the American people whole. The bailout must not simply be for the big money interest and the large corporations. It must be for everybody. And that means that, no, you're not going to be in a position of defaulting because you lost your job and you can't pay your student debt. You're not going to be in a position of going bankrupt because you can't pay your medical bill. You're not going to be evicted from your home. You're not going to lose. You're not going to be thrown out of your apartment or lose your home. You're not going to lose your business. So the business of the federal government right now is to make sure that we protect every man, woman, and child in this country. And lastly, I would say that at this unbelievably difficult moment where so many people are very, very nervous and appropriately so, this is a time when we must come together and understand that it's not me and it's not you, it is us. We are all in this together, literally in the sense that if I have the virus, then you're in trouble. When you have the virus, I'm in trouble. But more importantly, to get out of this mess, to get out of this incredibly difficult moment, we are all going to have to work together. And I hope very much that the lesson that we learn is that we must create a healthcare system. We must create an economy that is not simply based on greed and corruption, that it's not an economy which says, I can do anything I want to make billions of dollars and I can step on anybody and I can lie and cheat and steal. You know, hey, I'm in the pharmaceutical industry and I don't really care if people can afford the medicine. I'm in the insurance industry. I don't care if people can afford the health care that they need. I'm in the fossil fuel industry. I don't care if I'm destroying the planet. What's important to me is big money, 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 money. And we got to rethink that. Our job, I think, as a nation, as a people, is to figure out how we create a good life for all of us. From the littlest babies, where we don't continue to have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth, to our senior citizens, where 20% of them are living in dire poverty, to our veterans, some of whom are sleeping out on the street today, to half the people in this country are working paycheck to paycheck. We've got to rethink things. We have the potential in this country to create a good life for all of our people. And I think in the midst of this terrible crisis, while we have to aggressively address the epidemic, the pandemic of the coronavirus, while we have to aggressively make sure that people are not hurt in terms of the economic decline, we've got to do more than that. We have to prepare for the future, and that is create a society and a government that works well for all of us, not just the few. So let me conclude by saying this, getting back to the politics, you know, this is a political rally, to say I want to thank everybody out there for the kind of incredible support and energy that we have seen throughout. And I want to say a few things where I think our successes are and where our failures are, to be honest with you. What is our success? If you listen to what other candidates are saying, they are saying much of what we said 4 years ago and what we said at the beginning of this campaign. Oh, raising the minimum wage to $15. And, oh, of course, that's what we got to do. Well, you know what? 4 years ago, that wasn't what anybody was talking about. We made that happen. Public colleges and universities, tuition-free, canceling student debt. Hey, everybody's talking about that. That wasn't the case. You made that happen. Medicare for all, 4 years ago, an incredibly radical idea. Today, in virtually every exit poll that I have seen throughout this primary, That's what the people want. They understand that health care is a human right, not a privilege. 4 years ago when we talked about climate change as a national security threat, people thought we were a little bit crazy. Not anymore. They understand it. In terms of our broken and racist criminal justice system, more and more serious discussion about the need to reform that. Immigration reform, people understand that. Gun safety legislation, people understand that. So we have, in many ways, won the ideological struggle. Now, we got a long way to go, a long, long way to go. And I'm working on that right now as a United States senator. But take pride in understanding that you, all of us, have kind of transformed what the American people and politicians now think is possible. What is possible, what we're allowed to think about. Got a long way to go, but we have made real progress on that. And the other area where we should be very proud of the success that we have had is that we are winning the generational battle. Now, for whatever reason, and I plead guilty to this, and maybe it's some of my own doings, or lack of doings, we're doing poorly with older people. That's just simply a fact. And I got to work on that. Because in truth, the agenda that we have is the strongest agenda for senior citizens in this country. Expanding Social Security, Medicare for all, including home health care and dental care. Issues that are very, very important to seniors. But nonetheless, we're not doing well with seniors. But you know where we are doing phenomenally well? Phenomenally well. I'm talking about 70-80% support among younger people in this country. And it is the younger people who will determine the future of this country. And this younger generation, whether it's young African Americans, young Latinos, young whites, young Asian Americans, young Native Americans, they understand that the future of this country is through a progressive agenda, and they understand it big time. And it really does stun me to what degree the Democratic establishment continues to ignore the needs and the ideas of younger people. And if elected president, by the way, it's not only that we're going to fight for our agenda, we're going to involve young people in the decision-making process in a way this country has never seen before, because this is a great generation. So those are major achievements. We've changed the political dialogue in this country. We are winning overwhelmingly the support of young people. Now, the problem we're running into politically, let me be honest with you, is that for a variety of reasons, which I won't go into now, most people think that Joe Biden is the more electable candidate in terms of defeating Donald Trump. I honestly don't believe that. I think our campaign, which has the energy and the enthusiasm, I mean, we just did a fireside chat the other night. Some of you may have watched it. We had over 2 million people watching that. I mean, that is pretty extraordinary. We are reaching out to people who are non-traditional type voters. Now, to be honest with you, we've had problems getting some of those non-traditional voters to vote in the primaries, but I think they'll be there on election day. I don't think that any candidate, any Democratic candidate, can win the election, can defeat Trump, unless young people participate in unprecedented numbers. We are the campaign to do that. We are the campaign, I believe, to reach out to working class people who understand that Trump is a liar and a fraud, who understand that he is part of the establishment, not somebody who is taking on the establishment. So we got a lot of work to do in all of those areas. But let me just conclude by once again thanking all of you, all those who participated in this event, Neil and Daryl, and everybody else, and to thank everybody for the kind of energy and enthusiasm that you have brought to our unprecedented campaign. So with that, let me now introduce to you our special musical guest, the Free Nationals. Thank you.
him on the drums.
Saturday, you ain't gotta work tomorrow anyway. Do you, babe? Sweet Saturday, I got you a two-person Saturday. Oh yeah, babe. Saturday,
y'all give it up for India Shine. Just killed that song.
Yeah, India.
That yeah,
was crazy.
Hey, well, let's get into a little instrumental joint. You ready? Instrumental for Bernie. Get right into this one. Good vibrations, huh?
Thank you.
shouting. That's the positive vibe that we creating. Yeah. The sounds that make us feel right, we keep it blazing. Forever shining this light, we keep it blazing. My cup is full and running over. Oh, who never liked me, all gon' love me now. Baby girl just fixed me, say she coming over. When she reach, she want me free, turn off the phone. Turn the lights down low, turn up the stereo. Out to Nellis, Gregory, Isaac, James Brown. Have you ever been in love? You can't stop this good vibration, yeah. Positive vibe that we creating, yeah. The sounds that make us feel right, we keep it forever shining this light, we keep it blazing, blazing. Ain't nothing wrong with melodies that touch your soul. They acting like the people don't need it no more. Still, when she hear that good music, she hold me close. So she grooving now, I know she feeling it for sure. She turned to me, rest her head upon my shoulder. Soothingly, she tell me to turn up the song. Have you ever been in love? Can't stop this good vibration. That's the positive vibe. Feel right. Forever shining this light. Play, play.
Yo, thanks for tuning in with us. On guitar all the way from San Diego, California. Give it up for Jose Rios. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the way from Long Beach, California. Give it up on the bass for Kelsey Gonzalez. Yeah, yeah. And on the drums from Oakland, California, Thomas Pridgen on the drums. And all the way from West Covina, California. Give it up for the lovely India Shine. Okay, okay, okay.
Give it up for yourself.
I'm T-Nava,
baby.
From Cincinnati, Ohio. One more song for y'all.
Yeah, we got one more.
Let's watch it. Let's get it. That's funky. Let's slow it down a little bit. Hey.
Are you feeling the burn?
I'm feeling the burn. All right.